Chapter 7. Common Logical Fallacies. Opening questions. What is a logical fallacy? What are some of the most common fallacies that people make? Are there categories of logical fallacies? I thought that a red herring was a fish. Can a person find non-observable truth without using reason and logic? Should you accept a person's argument when it is based on a fallacy? A fallacy is an argument or idea that is false. So, for example, in the observation realm, if I said, God miraculously physically heals people through prayer, all one has to do is to observe religious people who have a loved one who is injured or ill and see if they are miraculously healed when they're prayed for. When they are not, then observation and reason conclude that prayer does not result in the physical healing of people, or at least always. That is an example of informal logic and inductive reasoning. A person could not say that prayer never physically heals someone because they cannot observe all the healing events on the earth in the past and present. However, they can say that if prayer normally physically heals people, then we would have tons of documented evidence of that, and we don't. Therefore, prayer does not normally physically heal people. Another example would be if an atheist said something like, God does not exist, and only children, fools, and other simpletons believe he does. Therefore, God is a delusion concocted by mental and emotional juveniles. This fallacy is a version of the appeal to spite fallacy, and is an attempt to win favor for an argument by exploiting existing feelings of bitterness or spite, or by trying to produce the experience of pleasure or joy or self-satisfaction that comes from learning of or witnessing the troubles, failures, or humiliation of another in the opposing party. It is an attempt to sway the audience emotionally by associating a hate figure or despised or disrespected people with opposition to the speaker's argument. Simply put, what does a certain group of peoples or certain types of peoples' belief about God prove about God's existence? Absolutely nothing. I've already identified and described a few of the key fallacies that are used by non-theists to justify the rejection of the existence of God. There are many logical fallacies that we as human beings can make. However, if we are doing a halfway decent job at trying to be better human beings, we must strive to avoid falsehood and error. If you have not been doing that, I urge you to start. Four of the most common fallacies are tu quoque, sweeping or hasty generalization, anecdotal, and the straw man or red herring. Tu quoque is an invalid argument that assumes a rival's recommendation should be discounted or dismissed because the rival does not always follow it him or herself. This could otherwise be known as the dismiss due to hypocrisy argument. The sweeping or hasty generalization is also known as the don't throw the baby out with the bathwater argument. It is a fallacy of induction argument that overextends a generalization to include facts or cases that are valid exceptions to it. The anecdotal fallacy, a form of the hasty generalization fallacy, is using personal experience or an isolated example instead of a valid argument, especially to dismiss statistics or other objectively gathered facts. Finally, there is the straw man argument. This is a red herring type argument that attempts to disprove an opponent's position by presenting it in an unfair or an inaccurate manner. To quote Wiki, the expression red herring is mainly used to assert that an argument is not relevant to the issue being discussed. For example, I think we should make the academic requirement stricter for students. I recommend you support this because we are in a budget crisis and we do not want our salaries affected. The second sentence, though used to support the first sentence, does not address that topic. Those are probably the big four fallacies in terms of the number of people committing them on a daily basis. Therefore, I urge the reader to understand them well and to not make them. To examine your thoughts, especially when you are in a defensive position when talking with someone. Chapter Category: Logic Categories Explained. There are three major categories of fallacies. Fallacies of relevance, of presumption, and of clarity. Each of those categories have subcategories. Fallacies of relevance have premises that do not bear upon the truth of the conclusions. In other words, they introduce an irrelevancy into the argument. Much of this material in this chapter is taken from The Art of Argument, An Introduction to the Informal Fallacies by Aaron Larson and Joel Hodge. There are three primary categories of fallacies of relevance, and they are ad fontem arguments, appeals to emotion, and red herring arguments. Ad fontem fallacies criticize the source of the argument rather than the issue itself. Those who offer ad fontem fallacy arguments are trying very hard to avoid an issue they don't want to address. This is very obvious in the political realm, where politicians, pundits, and media people spend much time personally attacking each other, known as ad hominem or against the person arguments, instead of discussing the issue or policy. By the way, you really should pause and think about the fact that so many politicians in the U.S. rely upon logical fallacies to support their policy positions. The tu quoque is a type of ad fontem argument. Since it focuses on the personal character of individuals in order to avoid carefully discussing what those individuals believe or the issue they advocate. Again, this fallacy is a staple of politicians as well as the major news networks in the U.S. at this time. The fallacies of appeal to emotion do just that. They appeal to emotions instead of facts and reasons. Most fallacies appeal to our emotions to get away from reason, but there are some particularly obvious ones. An example of the fallacy of appealing to fear is, if you don't agree with me, I'm going to go kill your family, or something like that. A very popular trick to bully someone emotionally is to call them closed-minded, or, as usually happens, to be asked the question, do you have an open mind? This question is often asked when a person believes that the person they are communicating with does not share their view on something. This is a trick to emotionally bully or shame the other person into believing their view on something. After all, who wants to have a closed mind? If by open mind you mean, will I consider believing contradictions, then no, for contradictions are false. If by open mind you mean I will not reject things that are false, then no, for false things ought to be rejected. If by open mind you mean I will believe spiritual or metaphysical claims that should have a manifestation in our physical realm but do not, then no, for empty claims with no evidence ought to be rejected. If by open mind you mean I will share your belief that watermelon farmers on Pluto want us to worship watermelons, then no, doing so is irrational and a waste of time. If, however, by open mind you mean that I am open to consider ideas, but I must be open to the possibility that the idea or concept you are about to communicate to me could be either true or false, reasonable or not, then yes, I have an open mind. If a person cannot accept the possibility that an idea might be false, then they are truly closed-minded. A truly open-minded person will critically examine all claims but will not accept them if there is no reason to believe they are true or if there is reason to believe they are false. For to accept them otherwise would be both fallacious and to be a person who is easily deceived. Another type of these fallacious fallacies is a religious example, would be something to the effect of, oh, don't you know religious leader so-and-so graduated from cum laude, best seminary, and thus you are a fool if you do not listen to him on this issue? That is a type of appeal to snobbery fallacy. It does not matter what school someone went to or how well they did. What matters is that reason and logic are used well to find the truth of the issue. The red herring fallacies are types of arguments that are irrelevant to the issue or situation. The straw man fallacy is a red herring fallacy. Another great example of the straw man fallacy is when people who support homosexual marriage call those who don't homophobes or other such fear-based and distracting labels. All who charge their opponent with some kind of phobia, fear, are attempting to characterize their opponent as irrational and thus not worth listening to. This is an error and should be rejected and rebuked. Again, this fallacy is used probably millions of times each day in the U.S., as the LGBT folks use this fallacy regularly. Another red herring fallacy is the appeal to ignorance. Religious people are guilty of this error. This argument makes the mistake of saying that because a proposition cannot be disproved, it must therefore be likely. If a theist uses a form of this argument to prove God exists because it cannot be disproved that he does not, against a non-theist, they err. Theists should stick to the many good and valid arguments for the existence of God and stay away from fallacies. The next high-level category of logical fallacies is called fallacies of presumption. These fallacies contain hidden assumptions that make the arguments unreasonable. The most popular of these fallacies is the fallacy of begging the question, also known as circular reasoning. This is an argument that assumes the very thing that one is trying to prove. Biblians are regularly guilty of this fallacy. In defending a belief they got from the Bible, they will say, well, because the Bible says so. For example, they will say, the Bible is the word of God. When asked what proof they offer to validate that claim, they will say, well, the Bible says so, or Paul says so, a Bible author, or the scripture says so. The scripture is synonymous with the Bible. Those arguments are false or fallacies. Another popular fallacy among religious people is the "it is ought" fallacy. This fallacy argues that because something is a certain way, it ought to be that way. The religious person, when asked why they have a particular tradition that does not make sense, might answer, we've been doing it that way for 500 years, or because God thinks it is good and right, and thus it should be that way. The next category of presumptive fallacies are the fallacies of induction. These fallacies make unnecessary assumptions about empirical data or inductive reasoning from that data. The most popular fallacy of this group is the hasty generalization. Racism is an example of a belief whose foundation is this fallacy. It is the argument that because some or even most individuals within a certain physical or demographic characteristic I have experienced in my life are a certain way, then all people of that type are that way. Of course, the person with a predisposition of bigotry will filter out the good people they encounter who are of the type they want to demean. The sweeping generalization is another popular fallacy among Christians. This fallacy takes a generalization that might be true and applies it to cases that are legitimate exceptions to it. An example would be this. Christians ought to move to the Bible Belt because everyone there is so godly. If you are able to make accurate observations and think functionally, then you know that is a false statement. The anecdotal fallacy is using personal experience or an isolated example instead of a valid argument, especially to dismiss statistics or other objectively gathered facts. For example, let's say a young woman works for the president of the U.S. and she likes her job and wants to defend the president. She gets invited to an interview with a panel of people who are politically opposed to the president. When one of the panelists who is opposed to the president brings up the crude, base, or vulgar, or arrogant comments the president has made, the young woman who works for the president might say, oh, well, I can't speak to that, but I can share my personal experience with the president and tell you that he is a wonderful guy and he's been great to me. The panelist's point or argument is that the president does not have good enough character to hold that office. The fallacious response is to ignore the videos or audio tapes of the president acting in a crude, vulgar, crass, or arrogant manner and instead substitute her personal experience. Here's another example. Let's say a woman who is a pro-abortion is invited to speak to a panel of women who are anti-abortion. The anti-abortion women want to get the pro-abortion woman to admit to the fact that most abortions are performed as a form of birth control and not due to duress circumstances like abortion after a rape. The pro-abortion women might respond, well, I can only speak from my experience to say that when I was raped and became pregnant as a result, having an abortion allowed me to have my career. As you can see, her personal anecdote has no bearing on the fact that most abortions are performed for convenience and not due to difficult circumstances. Experience is valuable in terms of gaining understanding of work or tasks or how things work or how people react. Therefore, older people do have more experience in many things than younger people, and thus older people ought to be valued more highly in terms of their experience they bring to a task or dealing with people in general. This is especially true regarding tasks that are more complex or work that has many unstable variables that must be taken into account in order to achieve a certain result. However, experience has nothing to do with determining whether something is true or false, right or wrong. Therefore, experience should not be cited when trying to determine whether something is true or false, right or wrong. The last high-level category of logical fallacies is fallacies of clarity. These arguments are false because they contain elements, words, phrases, or syntax that distort or cloud their meaning. There are three subcategories of this type of fallacy: equivocation, accent, and distinction without a difference. Perhaps the most popular of the clarity fallacies is the distinction without a difference fallacy. This fallacy is when people make a linguistic word distinction between two things that are actually not different from each other. For example, someone might say, "It's not that I don't like that person, it's just that they are creepy." This type of fallacy is the bread and butter of people who are led by their emotions and try and find creative ways to communicate negative things that their positive thinking philosophy says they ought not to. In other words, people that have a predisposition to commit this fallacy are often contradict themselves in the same sentence. This is just a small sampling of the many fallacies that exist. I would highly recommend the book, The Art of Argument: An Introduction to the Informal Fallacies, by authors Aaron Larson and Joel Hodge. You can also find a good list of informal fallacies on Wiki. As I said at the beginning of this section, it is imperative that people think clearly, reason well, and know or learn how to use critical thinking skills. In fact, I would say it is the most important life skill for human beings of all times, but it is extremely important for today's generation of U.S. citizens. Sadly, U.S. schools, secondary schools in particular, do not typically require a class on critical thinking or reason and logic, and it is perhaps the worst omission the secondary schools make. As we have seen, people destroy themselves by remaining in their cages and refusing to use reason well to find their way out of the cage. In the next chapter, we'll move forward beyond learning about the tools one must use in order to know truth and exploring what truth is to begin with. Chapter summary. Logical fallacies are incorrect reasoning methods that result in concepts or precepts or principles or beliefs that are false, like saying that 1 plus 1 equals 3 in the mathematical domain, or like saying God is both all-loving and all-powerful in the God-claim domain. The four most common fallacies are tu quoque, the sweeping or hasty generalization, anecdotal, and strawman arguments. You would do well to get to know these fallacies well and avoid using them and be able to identify when someone else is committing them. If a person does not care to use reason and logic well in sorting out important life questions, then they will never find the truth about their life or truth in general. It is extremely important that people understand that any argument, position, or belief that is based on fallacious reasoning is false and should be rejected.